We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee's First Stage Children's Theater is known for commissioning and producing new works by some cutting-edge playwrights. But they probably went as far as they could go to find the writer for their current world premiere production, The Snow.
Finnegan Krukemeyer lives in Hobart, Tasmania. That's the island state just off the southern coast of Australia. Because of the great distance between here and there, the first time Krukemeyer saw his own show performed was after it opened here last month. He also had a chance to stop by our studio to chat, and I wondered whether he'd already conceived of the story before getting the commission to write the play.
Really happily, it was a bit of both, I think. I give myself about one day a month in between other commissions I'm writing to sit down and write treatments of prospective plays, stories that don't yet exist but could sometime in the future. And so I write these short 2 or 3 page treatments of potential stories that are kind of exciting me in that moment in time. And The Snow was one of them. So it existed in this quite contained prose form, more just a beginning and a kind of a launching off into a story without a real knowledge of what came next. And I showed that to Jeff Frank from the company when I met him at a conference, and he latched onto that one and he was kind of interested in the idea. And from that point, it very nicely became a conversation. So I think it's art being made in the most healthy way, which is where you and a company are kind of both inputting about where a thing might go and what an audience might eventually see. And we ended up at what you bore witness to the other day.
What has changed over time? Were there things that, as specific elements of the piece that changed as you were working with Jeff and the company?
So, yeah, it's a good question. So we knew that we were dealing with the hero's journey and starting with this notion of a protagonist for the story who would be a child and wouldn't necessarily recognize himself to be great yet, but would be, through a series of circumstances, left to carry the weight of the adventure, he and this silent giant sidekick. And so we knew that would be the cut and thrust of it. But then in terms of what stages followed, it was informed partly by Jeff's interest in it existing as part of the Wisconsin Cycle, which is a project unto itself that First Stage has undertaken, which is this series of works looking at different angles of the, I think, the various cultural histories of this one state. So this, because it's from a Brothers Grimmsian kind of place, because it's informed by that European notion of what a Hansel and Gretel-y kind of adventure is. I think the German roots in the story were then discovered and kind of drawn upon, not in a literal sense, not saying that it was culturally placed in that place, but as touchstones, they entered the work more and more. So,
yeah, and the other thing that was interesting to me too, reading it, was that there's lots of elements of Greek drama, ancient Greek drama, with the choruses and the sort of back and forth and things overlapping.
That was kind of inadvertent. I'm not really clever enough to take credit for that so much, other than I like the interplay of theatrical styles. Whenever I write a show, I like looking at how many ways you might be able to access the story from. And I guess that's such a base imperative for writers at any period that, yes, maybe it harkens back to those because, of course, they were the initiators of the form.
It again, as you were saying that, I was also thinking of pantomime, that particular thing, too, because there's that expectation of audience reaction and anticipation, you know, he's behind you kind of thing. Wait, there's danger over here, you know, look.
Absolutely.
And so it kind of makes the audience has to be that other character.
Yeah, well, that's the intent. Absolutely. You want it to be this active thing. Jeff also really hooked onto that notion of it being a story told around a campfire, that maybe this is the same population of people who have been telling their story in a kind of meta way over and over again to each other for many years. And we're just bearing witness to one repetition of that. So I really like that idea that essentially we're all around the fire together and you need the moments of action and the moments of pantomime and the moments of, you know, there's an immediate threat and turn around and find it before it gets you, to balance out with all the larger existential questions in the work, because you don't want it to become a labored, philosophical exercise. You want it to be an inviting philosophical exercise.
And dramatic.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
And
quite important for what we do.
Exactly. I was thinking as I was reading it that there is a lot of layers in the way you've constructed it as well, because some of that dialogue, some of that story that we've heard 28 million times, there's a lot of asides for the adults to get that maybe kids wouldn't get the kind of pointedness underneath, but they might, depending. And so it allows the adults in the audience a little piece of it, too, beyond just enjoying the story.
Definitely. And I always subscribe to that notion. Whenever sitting down to write a piece of children's theater, I actually quite actively just try to write a piece of theater and then look at how it might have to be tweaked to access people with various levels of vocabulary, perhaps, or various levels of life experience, although I'd argue that theoretically children would be able to access anything, any part of the emotional range that an adult would. So yeah, I try to write a work which feels just as inviting to an adult who would be sitting with their child as a child who would be sitting with their adult. Yeah, if it becomes a conversation in that way, if at the end of the show the one and the other turn to each other and can each find a point of relationship with the story, whether it's the same one or a different one, then I think that's a nice kind of residual effect of the piece.
So how much were you here for the rehearsal process?
I was not, other than sitting on a Skype screen 14,000 kilometers away and waving to the cast and being able to watch a couple of runs that way and then giving notes as a result. It's generally the way with things, because I live in Tasmania, which is an island of Australia, which is, you know, quite close to Antarctica and the end of the world. I mean, you kind of make your peace with the fact that you won't be in every rehearsal room, but still there are ways to communicate. And where I do like to really be around is during the script development stage. So I came to Milwaukee a couple of years ago, and we sat in the same room, Jeff and I and some of the actors who ended up being in the eventual piece. Which was great. And we got to nut out ideas and theoreticals in that way, because you do need a bit of time when a story is forming to sit across a table and discuss what might be. But then when it gets to rehearsal stage, I actually really enjoy the process now of handing over, of going, well, now it's in the director's domain and the actor's domain. And in actuality, the process that has to happen in a rehearsal room, it can be quite a brutal one for a writer to bear witness to. Kind of words have to be tested for their strength and pushed and pulled and put through their paces and eventually come out as these things which are co-owned. You know, the actors emote them and bring them to life, and the director has shaped the way that they'll be delivered. And I sit back knowing that I wrote them a while ago. And I like the triptych. I like the three together.
And I know this is not the first time that this has happened for you, but was it exciting to hear the words the first time?
It always is. It always is. It's just it's this amazing magic trick, and it's a very indulgent one. I still can't believe it's my job, where you get to sit at a desk beneath a mountain in Tasmania and write some words onto a laptop and imagine in a very two-dimensional kind of way what they might become, and then to look into a rehearsal room or to sit in an audience a couple of years later and see them realized in three dimensions, see them embodied by amazing actors, see them surrounded by these wonderful sets, you know, see this vision that you had made far better than you ever could, because I don't possess those other skills. They've been put into the hands of people who are very talented in their various mediums and rendered large, and that's just a gift. I don't know why I'm allowed to do this thing I am, but
very lucky man.
I really am. I really am. It's so good.
It is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, that essentially my job is kind of creating a half-formed artwork. I think that's what I set out to do. I kind of create one beginning to a conversation, and then the rest of it is realized by others, and the audience sees that collective thing.
How was working with First Stage? Would you do it again?
It was very difficult.
Yeah. They're tough.
They are.
They had that reputation.
No, it was wonderful. It was a really nice experience, actually, at every stage. And just from this really informal, quite accidental meeting with Jeff at the One Theatre World conference a few years ago, and just both finding ourselves excited about the same things, about the intent behind work for children, about the way that you are able to push narratives or push themes for a child audience. I was immediately excited by this as a start to something. And then all the steps along the way. Every interaction I've had with the company has showed itself to be this this wonderful powerhouse of theatre making. And the scale of it, I mean, there are few equivalents in Australia where you find an institution with, you know, it's so well equipped, it can realise things at this level of scale and then make it specifically for children. I mean, it's amazing. It's almost inconceivable, I think, across the seas in the Antipodes that you'd have that much resource put into a work specifically for kids.
So will you do more?
I would love to. And there was a Q&A yesterday after the second show I went to. And yeah, I've now got a new agent in town. At the time, she thought she was just a mum sitting there, but she asked when I'd be commissioned again. And it was such a lovely little high five moment from me. So we have to work together. I'll find out who she is
and
give her a cut because, yeah, she did a good thing.
You didn't plant her there.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't want to answer.
We'll just assume that it was serendipitous.
Right.
Well, it has been such a pleasure having you in the studio.
Oh,
and when you do get that other commission, I hope you will come back.
I've really set it in stone now.
You
it's
have.
On radio, isn't
it? It's on the radio.
Thank you very much.
Finnegan Krukemeyer is the playwright behind the world premiere production at First Stage Children's Theatre called The Snow. The production runs through March 20th.